The following episode of Footy Prime the Podcast contains violence, coarse language, talking of shite, full frontal nudity, and adult scenes. Listener discretion is advised. BetMGM, the place for soccer in Canada, presents Footy Prime.
Oh, let's go!
Footy, footy,
it's time to get this party started. It's a footy, footy, it's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, Andy, Jimmy, and JC. All we know and all we talk about is
footy, footy.
It's time to get this party started tonight.
BetMGM, the place for soccer in Canada, presents Footy Prime. It is, yes, World Daily. It is match day. The biggest moment. Biggest movement? Well, we'll get to that in the next week or so.
It is the morning.
We've been over it a lot. It is. Yeah. The daily movement will be actually a different show entirely. That's not bad, though. I quite like that. For a morning show, that's great, actually. The morning movement.
Hey.
Oh.
We've just did our new morning show at the Footy Prime Circus Zoo.
Anyway, yes, it's a massive match today. Of course, it is a massive match today. It is Canada, South Africa in the round of 32. The first time either team has been this far. Well, not really this far because they've both been in 32 team World Cups before. But not in the knockout phase. Right? But I'm being a little bit pedantic there. I'm James Sharman. We've got Amy Walsh, Jimmy Brennan, Dan Wong, and Jeff Cole getting set for this special, special day. You guys will be heading down to Canada House, I'm assuming, to experience the wonders of all things World Cup football today. Is that correct there, Wong?
No, Jimmy is. I'm waiting on word from my daughters because I'm empty nesting and I have to put my children before soccer, just so everyone knows. That's the
how
one.
Dare.
Yeah, how dare. Well, this is the thing. You guys are like, JC and I are busy because of what we normally have, but the three of you have been going nonstop. So I know if Canada continues and continues winning, your endeavors will continue. It's kind of epic. What you guys are on the Odyssey. You're literally on an Odyssey with Canada football right now.
It has been amazing. An amazing ride. I hope it continues. If Canada win today, they're off to Houston for a match next Saturday against either Morocco or the Netherlands. And we don't want to, we are anything but arrogant in Canadian soccer. No one assumes anything, Dubs. South Africa are a team that can cause some significant issues. But, but there's a reason Canada's ranked 22 places ahead of them in the FIFA rankings, correct? But if you're a Canadian fan, you can be cautiously optimistic. Is that a good term to use for this?
I think it is a pretty apt description for, I mean, not to tell people what they should be feeling or sensing as they come into this, but I woke up this morning feeling that anticipation and feeling a little bit of that nervousness. You know, even though I'm covering the game, I wish I was down at Canada House because the last two CBC reaction shows that we did, we were able to grab all of the energy from those fans down there. It's a wonderful atmosphere. But today we're going to be back in studio and I'm a little bit crushed by that because you do feel a little bit disconnected. I've talked about it before. But in terms of what we should be thinking about this matchup is that is absolutely winnable. And Jimmy and I were talking about this on One Soccer last night. I think the mindset here is Canada absolutely just have to express themselves and impose themselves as Canada. You have to be wary of the counterattack. You have to be wary of a team ever since they tied Czechia, South Africa, and were able to equalize there and then get the winner and seem to have space to run at South Korea and I think surprise them the way that they were the protagonist in that match and are brimming with confidence coming into this never before kind of realm for them, never before kind of accessed area where they're going into knockouts for the first time, just like Canada. There's the respect that's there. Canada's momentum was halted. So they have to regroup. We've seen this team being able to respond the way that they did in game versus Qatar. So they have to do it on a quick turnaround and a short rest, but they have to be able to, this discussion with this team, with Jesse Marsh, with the way that they've climbed up the FIFA rankings, enough with a chip on our shoulder, enough with the underdog narrative. This team right now, they're the favorites and they have to embrace that and they have to be able to manage that in the game and they have to be able to kill the game Because if they let South Africa, again, surge into confidence, into the self-belief, if they can hang with Canada until that halftime whistle, I think we might be in trouble.
Let's bring in our wonderful sponsors here before we continue, JC.
World Cup Watch Canada, brought to you by Tim Hortons. It's game on with Tim's.
Thank you, JC. Jimmy, jumping off Dubsy's point there, like we can, as a nation, be confident and be, let's not use the word arrogant, but assume a win here or expect a win. That being said, if you're Canada and you're Jesse Marsh right now, if you read all the South African media, they know exactly what Canada is. They expect Canada to do what they do, front foot, press. Bafana, will absorb. Don't overthink this, right, if you're Jesse Marsh. Just do what works for Canada and what they're best at, because they are the better team. And if they execute the way that we know they can, this should be advancement. Is that fair to say, or is that arrogant?
No, it's not arrogant. It's confident. And you have to be confident, especially when you get to these stages. There is a difference with being arrogant and being confident. This team is confident, and they've got a belief about them. And there's nothing wrong with that. You have to play with a chip on your shoulder. And if I'm looking at this game, this is a game that, as players, we'd be thinking, we can win this, and we're going to go win this game. And if you don't have that mentality, you might as well not even step on the pitch. Because if you're going to question the opposition or question yourself, then there's doubt. And you can't have doubt in these situations. It's a one-off game. And these players don't need motivation from anybody. Jesse Marsh will not. If Jesse Marsh is going to motivate these guys, there's a problem. I mean, I woke up this morning, I'm not even playing. I put my jersey on before I even had my coffee. Like, I'm excited and I'm ready to go. Like, I want to play. So imagine what these players are like. No, I did. I even put my shorts on.
Did you go Winnie the Pooh, though? Were you just with a shirt and no underpants?
Yeah. You're a full kit wanker.
Yeah. Look, I had my little espresso and I looked at myself in the mirror. I was like, good morning, Jameis. Hello.
Hello, Jameis. Good morning to you.
It's going to be a good day, Jameis. Good day. But you know, that, it's great though, right, Dubs? I mean, let's say, Jimmy, continue.
No, but that's where I'm at right now. And there's millions of people across this country that are so excited about this and have a belief that we're going to win this game. And you can only imagine what these players are like right now, going down for breakfast, looking at one another, going, let's make some more history here, fellas. This is our time. This is our moment. And this is why you play this game. I said this last night with Dubs. Like, you play this game to win trophies and championships, create history, create magical moments. And this is another moment that they're going to create. And if they win this and get to the 16, again, they've made history. And as players, that's what you want. You want to look back in 20 years and go, yeah, I was in the round of 16. We were the first team to win in a World Cup. We were the first to get a first point. We were first to score 6 goals. These are moments that you cherish, because when you finish football, all you got is these magic moments that you've created, that you've won, or you've made history. And these guys have a special one right now. And you just hope that the moment and the occasion doesn't get the better of them. They have to play with controlled emotions today, and which they will do, because they're professional enough to understand that.
Yeah. And in that game versus Switzerland, whether it was, you know, tactically they were on the back foot, they were a little bit hesitant. There was, you know, not the quality that we're used to seeing from them, especially as they tried to progress the ball. And then the urgency, we've talked about this, right? Ad nauseum. But what we saw in the last 20 minutes, why was that not there from the start? Well, they get a do-over now, and there's no do-over for the knockouts. You got to do it. And then selfishly, what we do so well here on Footy Prime is look at things through the lens of Footy Prime. So if Canada keeps winning, it is good for Footy Prime. But what I also said to Jimmy last night on One Soccer is that there's much to be made, or much has been made, about Canada not being able to play this knockout match at home in Canada. But at the same time, there will be traveling fans, there will be attention, there will be eyeballs on this match. And you know how you continue that and how you keep building that? Results. So win the match and everything becomes bigger, and not just on the pitch, not just for this men's national team, but for everything.
Oh, Dubs.
I know. It's big. It's huge.
Yeah. Yeah. And the other thing is, it would allow Footy Prime and the Canadian Soccer Association to finalize our agreement going forward. I'm kidding. Yes, exactly. Yeah.
We can even demand more money now. You
know? That's right. We can demand more money just because everyone we are not in bed with the Canadian Soccer Association. Just to make it clear, we do not have that relationship. We are allowed to have any opinion we want. And I think we share those opinions, whether they're hot takes or they're diplomatic, but we always are fair and transparent and authentic to ourselves. Speaking of Dubs, you're going to make me cry.
I've been covering a lot of soccer. I'm so tired.
I don't know why I'm crying. I'm sad. I don't know why. Am I tired?
Why am I so emotional today?
What was my name again?
Listen, that's
we started
beautiful,
15
though, Dubs,
minutes
because
late.
We haven't had these moments as a soccer nation, right? Mm-hmm. We're allowed to have this. Yeah. This is special. This is, I mean, I don't want to turn it into a negative, but this is kind of an FU to all the haters out there over the years who have dismissed this sport and this program as being a laughing stock. And now we are capturing the nation's attention and on a proper match day. Like, you just don't get this in Canada. You wake up this morning and Jimmy puts his shirt on, Dubsy becomes a blithering mess. and this is what football's all about, right?
It is.
It's a special day.
This message is brought to you by Tim Hortons at participating restaurants in Canada for a limited time.
Introducing Tim's Taste of the Globe, a limited time squad of globally inspired Timbits and iced cap flavors.
And trust us, this lineup came to play.
We're talking a Brazilian lime cheesecake Timbit,
a French chocolate creme brulee Timbit,
an Italian cappuccino Timbit,
and a Canadian fireworks Timbit,
plus a Mexican caramel churro ice cap that absolutely deserves a chant.
It's game on at Tim's with the new Timbits and ice cap flavors from around the globe.
Try them all today.
I will.
I know you will. Now back to the show.
Do you know, and for me selfishly, like, we're older now, right? We got kids and responsibilities and we don't really get out as much. And this is a moment where I get to go downtown and just party and celebrate something special. So boys, win the game so I can enjoy another July 4th, please. I want another day out.
It's true, Jimmy, but I think it also, you know, not to play contrarian, but I think we all do that quite well, but the prove the haters wrong, like, we've been there. Like the Kyle Aaron, the fingers in the ears, like the Jonathan David and the talking, and he got the hat trick, and like, I think we've moved beyond that. Like, it should be joyful. It should be a joyous occasion. It should be celebratory. Like, we're moving the needle and we're doing this in a positive way. It's not about proving people wrong. You're the favorites. You're meant to win. Embrace it and do so in a full expression of everything you can be on the football pitch. And it should be jubilant. And I believe that it will. I really do.
And that's why I think there is that air of anxiety, because yes, everything you said is correct, but it's a match that Canada should win. And if they don't win, that really throws a dark cloud over this whole World Cup experience. Because it's one thing to get out of the group, and that was always a plan. Okay, let's get out of the group. We discussed this. I kind of assumed they'll be against a tougher team than South Africa in the next round. They've been gifted this. And this is what the South African media is saying too, by the way. They've been gifted this opportunity against a team that isn't a top team.
They're saying the same thing.
Yeah, they're the exact same thing.
But to no surprise, right? We haven't arrived.
Yeah. No, but it's just the narrative's the same, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, it's interesting that. It really is. But they do acknowledge that Canada is probably the favorite in this game, just about. But they also acknowledge that, man, if we were given this opportunity and we were told before the World Cup you're playing Canada in the round of 32, they would have jumped at it. It could be so much worse. So there's that. As much as it's
careful what you wish for.
Exactly. But it's a celebration, Jimmy. You're right. Of course it is. But if they win this match and then they're playing the Dutch next Saturday in Houston, I mean, that is a celebration, because at that point, there's nothing to lose. There's nothing to lose. I mean, the players will feel pressure because they're professionals, but there's no pressure. It's like the world will be expecting an easy Dutch win. Let's just enjoy the party, right? And then who knows what happens on the pitch. But we're not there yet. So that conversation is going to fill lots of minutes of this show throughout the week, hopefully, as opposed to a breakdown of, man, are we actually as good as we think we are?
I really
don't want tomorrow to be a reaction show about a loss. But I wanted to ask Jimmy and Amy that you were talking about the Swiss game, the reticence, the hesitancy versus the Qatar, where they free flowing. And it was kind of a tale of two matches in the Bosnia-Herzegovina also, where first, the moment hit them. It seemed to me, I'm just my opinion, but the moment hit them in the first half. Second half, they played a lot more open, a lot more kind of Jesse Marsh football. How does a team just kind of say, hey, kind of the Alistair Johnston, fuck it, we're Canada, right? Like how do we do that without with staying within the game plan and getting rid of kind of the cobwebs and the nervousness? Is it something as a team? Can you feel it? Is it warm up? Like where is that kind of opportunity to get rid of those nerves or to not play hesitant? Is it the first touches? How do you approach it?
Well, I know from myself when I played, I put pressure on myself because I was like, don't be the guy that messes up. Don't be the guy that makes a mistake. And my first touch was so important in a match, and my first pass, very, very important. I wanted a good touch, good crisp pass, good movement, touch again, good pass. And then get myself into it and go, okay, perfect. There's nothing worse when your first touch is shit and you end up losing it, or you ping a ball and it goes out of bounds and you're like, oh, fuck. Oh, I got to get into this here. And then I'm not touching it for a couple of minutes and it comes back and another bad touch and you start questioning yourself and you're thinking, holy shit. So that first moment in a match was so important for me. What?
The swears. I'm loving it. It's okay. You're keeping JC busy.
So that was the most important thing for me, was the first few minutes in the match, my first touch, first pass. Now, you know, I know you're talking about the Bosnia game, but like every game has a different situation, different circumstances that happen throughout a match. You're never going to be in total control of a game. That first game against Bosnia, and I understand fully what was going through those players. That first 45 minutes, there was a lot of energy that was consumed, a lot of energy. First match of the World Cup at home in front of 45,000 Canadian fans. And you waste a lot of energy, and not just mentally, but physically as well. And it takes some time to finally get going, get into the game. Second half, completely different story. Against Qatar, people go, oh, well, Qatar's not the best. Well, we didn't allow them to be good, because their first game that they played, everybody's like, hey, this is no pushover. Well, mm-hmm. we didn't allow them to get into the game, and we were at it for 90 minutes. And we were on the front foot. Then you're playing a Swiss side that were very experienced, a lot of older heads that have been there, seen it, done, have been in World Cups. And tactically, they were very good. They set their traps up, their movement. They killed a lot of spaces for us. And those penetrating passes that we were trying to play kept on getting cut out at times. And eventually, yeah, we grew into the game, but it's easy to play when you're losing, meaning you're chasing the game. So you start throwing everybody forward. The opposition ends up dropping in. They're 2-0 up. You're holding on to the game. So every game dictates how you're going to play, how you're going to move, your shape, whatever is going to happen. It's up and down in games. And this is no different. This is one game, though, that we have to start well. We have mm-hmm. to be on the front foot. We have to dictate the tempo and control of the game early doors in this match. And then it'll be up to us whether we let them come into the game or not. It depends how much we're at it collectively as a group. And in games like this, in a knockout, there's no room for passengers. Everybody has to be on the same page from the first minute to the 95th minute. Everybody has to be clued in. And this is where you hold your teammates accountable in certain situations, where if I see Wonger, hey, get your ass going here now. Come on, get into this game. And some guys get into the game quicker than others. Mm-hmm. But this is one where everybody's got to be into the game from the first whistle, dialed in.
Mm-hmm. And it has to come from the players. And this is something else that I said yesterday is, you know, that frame of mind and what you're talking about, Wonger, and how it was like a hesitant kind of slow start both versus Bosnia and then versus the Swiss, this team is at its best. In what I said, what they are imposing themselves as Canada, and to Jimmy's point, where they're so dominant, they're so smothering, like there's no space to breathe for the opponent. But we've been at our best in a group stage when we're chasing something, chasing the equalizer versus Bosnia, trying to kill the game early versus Qatar. The last 20 minutes when you saw this team at its best, really aggressive, really high tempo, unrelenting. So you reframe it, and what you're chasing in this match is the round of 16. That to me is how you maybe frame it if you're the coach, if you're Jesse Marsh. But again, to Jimmy's point, and such a good one, like Jimmy said, my first touch was the most important thing. For me, it was that. But for me, it was as a ball-winning midfielder and somebody who was a leader and trying to set the tone, lead by example, it was my first challenge. It was that first duel, I need to win that. And when Canada was on the back foot, that's what you didn't really see. I think we've seen it consistently from a young kid in Luc de Fougerolles. Well, I also noticed too, and the switch that got flipped was the insertion of Stephen Eustachio. So a lot has been made about Alphonso Davies, and he's finally going to be available. And how many minutes will he get? The guy that asked him, "Will you start?" And Fonzie's like, "Start?" like that should be a meme, right? But the most important player for me isn't a Moise Bombido to be there to try to mitigate the threat on the counter from the South Africans. Mm. It's the old head, it's the leadership, it's the composure of a Stephen Eustachio versus a South African side that started this tournament inexplicably in a 5-3-2 and has since shifted to a 4-2-3-1. And that double pivot in there, and for me, Mokwena, who missed the last group game versus South Africa, he's the talismanic midfielder for them. And so if we can control the midfield while we're pressing, throwing numbers forward. I know, Jimmy, you've talked about Bombido and the importance of that pace in order to throw numbers forward so that the players in front of them have confidence that they can go kind of unbridled, shackles off, just no handbrake. That's probably 1B. But for me, you really missed that presence in the middle of the park with Stephen Eustachio, and he is a vital piece for Canada's success today.
I think we've discussed that over the last few months. Who's the most important player for Canada? And yeah, okay, you can say John David, someone's got to score goals. But it really is Eustachio. Because he sets that tempo, doesn't he? And you see it the minute he comes on in the last match, how everything... Listen, I know Switzerland are sitting a lot deeper, but they look more composed. And I was talking to, like, interviewing Chan with players this week at the scrums, and I asked them about Eustachio. And they're saying, yeah, he's our... Basically, they're saying he's our leader. He's our general. Mm-hmm. He's a guy that comes in and he goes, he's so calm and cool out there, yet intense on the ball. And that's a nice combination to have. And they all feel better and more cool and calm when he's on the pitch. And that's nothing against Mathieu Chouanière, Nathan Saliba, these other midfielders, right? But there's a different level there with experience. A guy that's played for Porto, right? I know he's had difficulty the last number of months there, but that's a massive club in Europe. And he's played some massive games. He won't be overwhelmed by this. I mean, the fact that they're away from home might actually help them. There's going to be a lot of Canadians down there. I know Canada Soccer have said that there's officially, through their Canada Red program, there's 4,000 traveling supporters. There's going to be a lot more than that. A lot more than that. But even if it's 4,000, guys, 4,000 traveling supporters for an away match for Canada. How often have we said that? Have we ever said that before?
Nope, I don't think so. Forrest always talks about it, right? Not through a critical lens, or not trying to, shit all over it. But Forrest always talks about the fact that Canadians don't travel. You have that pocket of fans, those loyal voyageurs, you know, who we value so much. But it's been really hard to grow that group and to make it just a regular thing that you do to support your national teams. And now this is another thing that is tied up in this result, is you have a chance to grow that even further if this happens. But how amazing is that, that those players the supporters are going to be there on site. They've traveled. And I do agree with you, Sharms, and Craiger brought this up. as soon as we found out that, you know, well, Canada doesn't top the group, they're leaving the confines and the comforts of home and they have to travel. But there's a little bit of liberation in that. There's a little bit of that pressure that's alleviated. And Canada do quite well. But it is the place where Fonzie did his ACL. So
yes,
hopefully, I know.
Poetry or something, right? It's poetic. And he talked about that yesterday at the press conference, of which he appeared at the press conference. Now, usually that's reserved players that are going to play. And Jesse Marsh said he's good to go. Jimmy Wonger, do you believe Jesse Marsh? Are we going to see Alphonso Davies finally? Let's be honest, we don't know. I mean, if he doesn't, that's some serious trolling at the press conference yesterday. He's playing, isn't he?
Yeah, he has to. Come on. He's got to play. It's now or never. Because you got one shot at this and you got to win. You got to get your best players on the pitch at some point. And he has to play. Otherwise, why is he there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And if he doesn't play, Jimmy, I am. And
like, he has to play.
Absolutely. And even more, Jesse Marsh and I will no longer be friends. I cannot trust him. I don't know. I can't value his friendship and our closeness if he's lying to me about this.
Yeah, until you see him and you give him a big hug and then have a beer with him.
Yeah. we're mates again now. They addressed the whole decoy gate at the press conference. It was quite funny using the word decoy. It's become the word, hasn't it? The new word for Canadian football. Decoy. We'll be using that for a long time. There'll be T-shirts made up. Hey, JC, just planting that seed.
Well, it'll be a decoy. Sharms, the picture will be a duck with Alfonso's head on the top of it, right? Like one of those decoys for hunting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, if it turns out well today.
That's what?
That's quack to ask.
That's quack.
Let's not do that. Let's not do that.
I've got a comment to do with Fonzie playing. I pulled up.
There's a lot of comments about Fonzie, eh?
There are, yeah. But I thought this one was particularly good because I think we need to maybe measure our expectations for what Fonzie can bring, right? Given the amount of competitive minutes he's played recently. This is from Gary Barone 8102 on YouTube. I don't know as much about soccer as many other sports. Is it reasonable to expect Fonzie and Bombito to play great in a knockout game, given they have played intense tight, or they have not played intense tight competition in months? I would be surprised if that happened. I am not expecting them to play at all next week. So there's somebody on the other side, right? Yeah.
Yeah, it's a great question. If you look at Fonzie's track record as coming back from injuries, when he does come back, he looks good straight away. I think he got an amazing assist for Bayern when he came back from that ACL, if I remember. And he was almost joking about it yesterday about, you know, he's had like four or five injuries since. Mm-hmm. So it feels like that anyway, which is crazy. But he is one of those players, he can look quite good, but he's not playing more than 20 minutes. Again, if you look at the way Bayern Munich bring him back into the team, he's playing maybe 5 minutes and then 10 minutes, Jimmy, and then 15, and then maybe he'll get a heart. You know, so I don't know what the plan is for him. We won't see him much. Let me ask you this, Jimmy. Let's hypotheticals here, score lines. Canada's up 3-0.
Best case scenario. I love this, Sharms. Yeah, yes, I like this.
Let's hope this happens because I don't want to be sweaty palmed in that stadium. You guys don't want to be sweaty palmed.
You don't want to see Sharms sweaty palmed anyone, period, anywhere.
Actually, right now they're kind of sweaty, actually. Now you mention it. You make me nervous, all you people. But Jimmy, if you're up 3-0, you've got half an hour to go in a match or 20 minutes or whatever, do you bring him on to get the minutes ahead of more minutes against the big one in the round of 16?
If he's fit, ready to go, yes, I bring him on.
100%. That's the ideal, right?
Yeah.
It's the ideal when you're not chasing the game, when you can just bring him on, he can do his thing, as opposed to being down a goal and, oh God, let's bring on Fonzie, because you can imagine the pressure. I mean, the ideal is that you bring him on to get him minutes as opposed to we need impact right now, right?
Mm. Yeah. I would bring him on. Doesn't matter what the scoreline was. Down 1-0, up 3-0, I'm bringing him on.
It sounds logical. The funny thing was, John Kendall, who's follows us on Twitter, he asks, isn't it odd that Bayern physio has to pass him fit to play for Canada? And there was some back and forth. But the question that I found really interesting about it would still would other countries put up with it? Is this a Canada Bayern thing or is this a Bayern thing? Would this happen to England and Harry Kane? Would this happen to Luis Diaz and Colombia? Or is this a Canada Bayern Munich?
I don't see what the big deal is about it. Mm. You know, a Bayern Munich who really owns this player, or have spent a lot of money on this player, one of their most talented players. If they said, hey, listen, we're going to bring our head physio just to work with Fonzie. That way he can be one-on-one. The physios can look after the rest of the squad, deal with them, look after them. At least we can pay attention individually to this player and give him all the time that he needs. I would welcome it. I don't think any other country wouldn't. Why wouldn't you? I'd be like, hey, no problem. Come.
Optically, Jim, look after this. If say you're in England or Germany or Brazil,
yeah.
Optically, I don't think they want that though. They wouldn't accept it.
Like, why would they not?
Because
why would they not? It's another body to help your squad.
No, I know, so but the questions that we're giving, you know, having about this, imagine that amplified a million times in a real country that lives and breathes soccer. You know, Harry Kane's Bayern Munich's trainers with him and they've got the final say so over Harry Kane.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's not the final saying. It's a collective.
I know, but obviously it looks like they have the power though. I agree with you. I think it's a collective, but
who gives a shit? What do you care what other people are thinking? You got a guy that's going to get attention that he needs. He's not playing. He wasn't training. Look after Fonzie. Take care of him. The other staff, you guys are looking after this squad of 26. You take care of these guys because you can't give as much attention to one player as what you can if you have an individual that's here working with Fonzie. Mm-hmm. Because if I'm working on Estacchio, or maybe I'm working on him for 40 minutes. Okay, Estacchio, you got to move. Moise, in you come. Next player, in you come, in you come. It's a rotation. But if you got somebody that can solely work on Fonzie, then I don't understand what the issue is. And optically, who gives a shit what people are thinking on the outside? As long as you get
Mark it well, again.
Not to mention the fact that no one knows him better than this guy as well. This guy works with him every single day of the year at Bayern Munich.
Exactly.
Canadian. So I get that. We should mention also, Dubs, though, that Canada Soccer sent a physio over to Nice to work with Moise Bembido on the flip side.
Mm.
There wasn't much noise about that. Maybe there was within the Nice faithful. Who's this guy, this Canadian guy coming over and working with? I didn't hear any of that. But
yeah, Nice, not so nice. Yeah. No, you're right. I think what Jimmy's saying, though, is that it's collaborative. And if it's going to benefit the player and ultimately the team, who gives a damn, right? What optics
are. Damn, I should have said damn.
Yeah, that's right. But I think the point that you're trying to make, Sharms, is that the take on it could be from the outside. So the optics could be negative in that it seems like the club is inserting itself into the narrative and undermining the final say of the national team. And so I don't think that this is an issue. Clearly it's not one for Jesse Marsh. And it's not for Davies because I think he feels like he's being taken care of properly. He's got undivided attention and he's being shepherded along and is returned to play and is returned to fitness. But I also think, and Jimmy mentioned this earlier, that the psyche of Alphonso Davies needs to be taken care of. It's not just the physical nature of the injury. It's his place as captain. We've already talked about the fact that the general on this team, maybe the captain, even when Davies is fit to be on the field and he's wearing the armband, it is Stephen Eustachio. So I wonder if Davies is having a difficult time figuring out what his role is, what his place is within this collective. And it's something that hasn't really been discussed, but I lived it on the team where I had the armband taken away from me during an injury. And I had to reconcile what that meant. Could I still be a leader? Forrest has talked about the fact that if you're a leader, you're going to be leaderful in the way that you present yourself and show your value to your teammates and to the coaching staff. You don't need an armband. And the true captains will emerge once that comes kind of to the table. If, you know, you're being told you're part of the leadership council, but performatively, optically, you are not the person who's going to be doing the coin toss before the game. and your true character will emerge at that point. But sometimes when you've been battling an injury, your confidence takes a hit, you're unsure of what your expression is going to be on the field. Like, what am I really going to be at in terms of percentage and what I feel like when I'm at my best? The mental game can, like, ça peut jouer des tours. I don't know why I thought of that in French, but like you can play mind games with yourself. You start to tell yourself stories and you can spiral. So I hope that in addition to the guy who's the personal trainer from Bayern, I know that I heard Alistair Johnston talk about a psychologist who is with the men's national team. So I hope that the entire team has access to this, but that Alphonso Davies is also being taken care of in that regard. Because listen, we're talking about, oh, can you give us 15 minutes? Can you give us half an hour? What is the physical nature of that performance going to be? Hopefully it's, he could be a game changer. We know that. But Fonzie, between the ears, where is he, and is he all right? And is he at a point where he can really lift this team? I hope that he is.
I call the German, the Fonzie's therapy German. You know, you get these therapy dogs,
yeah,
right? They wear the little jackets. He's his therapy German. Wherever he is this guy. Wonga, can you imagine our Dubs, as we know her, how she would have reacted when she lost the armband and how she would have overthought it?
Oh, it my would God, be, you guys.
That would be a spiral that you don't want. No one wants to see that darkness. It's like that movie Memento. She'd be writing things on her arms, working backwards. How did this happen to me? How did this happen to me? Wonga,
she'd be like the woman out of Misery.
Yeah.
Kathy Bates. She's Kathy Bates.
Knocking on the room.
Evan Pellerup was the author.
Yeah.
Hey. Yeah. Not to make light of it probably was quite a dark time in your career, right, Dubs, I imagine?
Yes, it really was.
So sorry to make light of it.
No, it's okay. But like you get to a point where you realize when you're on the other side, after you've had to navigate it yourself and be in like kind of the depths of not despair, but like you just feel so, so low. And you realize on the other side that your teammates don't view you any differently. And that's all that matters.
But they also don't care. Like,
yeah,
let's be honest. They don't see you any differently. They want you to come back in. But they don't care because their job is in front of them, which is next man up. That's my role now. And it's such an interesting kind of chaotic time where, hey, you don't know how people are feeling, how you're feeling, how the team looks at you. It's all very nebulous emotions overall. And I think that's to your point, Dubs, with Alphonso coming back from injury. And, you know, stopping and starting. This is his second injury from, you know, he hurt himself playing for Canada.
Third muscular injury. Yeah.
Like, this is not an easy moment. I think there's a lot of pressure, and anything that the rest of the players can do to alleviate that pressure and just go, hey, man, go out and play like you normally do. Mm-hmm. I don't care. It's called,
mafia. It's called mafia. Yeah. They're using this game mafia to unwind.
You've
talked about this.
Have we figured it out yet?
By this. Read it in there. Actually, Josh Cloak did a whole piece on it in The Athletic. Okay. It's really good. No, they are obsessed by this game, which I didn't know even existed until about 10 days ago. And even on the training pitch, you see them like using, I don't know the first thing about the game, but mafia still has a big part of everything they do. And they use that. Because, I mean, listen, let's be honest. Jimmy, you tell me... As part of the media, we have to overthink everything and focus on certain things over and over again because that's our job. We've got to fill an hour amount of programming every single day during a World Cup. We have to focus. The actual in that room, half this stuff, be it decoys, be it hamstrings, be it therapy Germans, be it whatever it is, right?
Therapy Germans.
Right.
Sorry, now you got me.
It's going to be so tiny, really. They don't really care. This is creations of the media amplifying it in most cases, correct?
Yeah, 9 times out of 10, yeah, it is. Because a lot of the times you don't know the inside, what's going on behind the scenes. And a lot of it is speculation. You know, you talk to somebody and, oh, how's that person doing? Sometimes they'll lead you down the wrong way. And then you end up writing your stories. And, you know, that's why it's so important as a team that you do keep things in-house behind closed doors, because the media and the press don't need to know everything that's going on. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, you know, you got to lead them down one way. So it kind of leaves you alone. So they don't really know what's happening on the inside. And that story doesn't get out. Right. And that's where the media will always continue to guess. And those stories that they write, we end up reading them and then we end up talking about them. So, you know, you never really truly get 100% accurate information coming out of a dressing room.
It's a pretty tight group, though. You don't hear much. There's very little slipping out of this room.
Yeah.
You know, there's hardly any. Jesse Marsh has got a pretty tight ship there. And these guys
are all aboard. I like Jesse Marsh and his decoy and all of this gamesmanship more than I liked him before. He was always transparent, but it's none of our business. Our job is to look at things, analyze what we see on the pitch, analyze how things could look after, and you know how this team is collectively working together to get results. That's our job. And we'll have takes here and there. But that Jesse's doing a little mind effing with us. I think that's great. Good for you.
I love how it's winding up the media. I really do.
We're the media too. We're not.
I'm part of the media. But
are you wound up?
No, I just can't get wound up by this stuff. But a lot of people are getting really wound up by it, and I think I love it.
it's funny.
Are you really taking this personally?
Because they're like, "Oh well, we're really close. We're friends. They would never lie to me."
No, that's my point. Oh, Jesse, when I'm having wine at your place in March. What the hell? Jesse's never inviting me to Italy. What are we talking about?
We got the invite. We just couldn't afford to go. Yeah, we didn't get the invite.
That's right.
You know, we just couldn't afford to go.
Yeah.
We can't afford to go to
the last dinner with Footy Prime. That's what it would be.
Yeah, exactly.
All of us sitting on one side and Jesse in the middle.
Mm-hmm. Can I just say one thing about the decoy thing?
Yeah.
I was speaking to a friend of the show, Jordan Wilson, about this yesterday. We were in Sportsnet together, and he was asking me, because he disagreed with my take on like the gamesmanship aspect of it, because I was much like you just said, and you, Wonger, as well, that like it's fine. Especially, I think what people had an issue with is that Jesse Marsh was transparent in a way that I think we weren't accustomed to for a national team coach. And then this seemed to go against that, but then he admitted it. So the transparency was back anyway, right? With a wry smile. So yeah. What I said about on the inside, and to Jimmy's point and yours, Sharms, just about everything kept in house, right, is like really important, because there is something that's of just inherent value and so precious to the team culture that all of that stuff stays private and together. But Jesse Marsh backs these guys unconditionally. And I think you feel like the same confidence that's reciprocated from the players to Jesse Marsh. So if this was happening externally, I just hope that the messaging internally was, this is what we're doing. Not that he owed it to the players to explain it. But if I was one of those players and that was happening, I would just, not that I would feel duped, but just be like, these are the players in front of you that have to get the job done in order to drop Davies in a round of 32. We have to navigate the group stage in order to get here. So full trust to those players, and also share in what your plan is. So listen, the plan internally, there was always clarity. I'm convinced, even though Fonzie talked about it at the presser, I talked to Jesse and I wanted to play. I told him that I was ready to go and I didn't hit the benchmark, didn't hit the metrics. So he stood him down. I think internally the players knew that Fonzie was only ever going to be available for the round of 32.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I'm convinced that with all of the noise and the shiny objects to the media and the outside voice, like I think the inside voice, there was always calm, composure. This is the plan.
Yeah.
Fonzie, you're a part of it, but we only need you here. We don't need you to come in and to disrupt your rehab and your recovery and your timeline. So trust in these guys. And then that trust again has been the foundation for everything that they have laid over the course of this World Cup.
Well, I mean, he literally asked Fonzie, do you mind being the decoy?
Yeah.
Right. Literally, they use those words. And Fonzie was like, yeah, sure. I don't care. Go ahead.
Yeah.
So yeah, let me ask, let's switch just a little bit, Jimmy, to Moise Bembido.
Yeah, I was going to finish. Sorry, Charms.
Go ahead.
I was going to finish with Afonso. You know, I think the other thing is too, his situation where he's at, and he's dying to get on the pitch like we've said. You know, the other thing too, which you got to keep in mind, is Bayern just signed another left back as well, Nathaniel Brown from Frankfurt, for 55 million. Yeah, so you know that's probably weighing on his mind a little bit as well, thinking, you know what, I'm not in this World Cup. I haven't played a minute. I've been injured for God knows how long. Now Bayern's just got another quality German left back. You know, that he's probably starting to think, okay, what's my situation? Not only here at the World Cup, but also when I get back to Bayern. You know, am I the next one out, or am I going to be starting? Because this is a good competition that's at this left back spot now. So he's got a lot going on in his head right now. That's for sure.
I spoke to a German journalist yesterday who focuses on Bayern Munich, and he believes that signing was partly made to put a fire under Fonzie's ass. Say, okay, let's get things going here. Let's take everything seriously. This is important. Like, that's an expensive fire up your ass.
I was going to say, must be nice to have 50 mil lying around to just light a fire under somebody.
Well, Fonzie's on what? I think he's on
Can we do it with Jimmy?
20 mil. can we bring it to the front of Jimmy's ass?
Jimmy, I got 10 bucks.
Hume, hey, Hume, what are you doing? On the show. No, we need like a younger
Jimmy.
A younger Jimmy. Oh,
yeah.
Imagine a younger Jimmy.
It would be hard to find a younger. He'd be hard to replace.
He would be hard to replace.
Why are we talking just right here? He's sitting right here.
He's right there.
We love you, Jimmy.
His son just graduated high school. He's looking.
He's starting to feel like a job now.
Jimmy, bring my phone on.
Phoenix can take
Jimmy, over. Jimmy, high five. Jimmy, high five.
No. Other way. Other hand.
Do you know what? On my side, it's working.
Do the Midnight Express.
Oh, jeez.
What are you doing?
I won't. Just watch the Midnight Express, you'll understand.
It's an old film.
It's an old 80s film. Thai prison. I think it's Thai prison.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's disgusting.
Turkish.
So let's not do
Turkish
that.
Prison.
At all. But Turkish. Is it Turkish?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Anyway, Jimmy, Moise Bimbido. So he hasn't played barely, about 45 minutes. In this, the speculation is he'll get the start. What would Moise Bimbido bring to this team that they've been missing?
Pace, charms, lots of pace in the back. A good, solid defender, reliable defender, can play at the back. First and foremost, loves to defend. Yeah, tracks runners. And for me, he's very disciplined and organized. He doesn't mind being isolated 1v1 at the back. Goes back to what we were talking about. He can push the press in front of him, let everybody feel good knowing that he's behind. They can get there quick, knowing that there's space in behind that Moise Bimbido can cover, and doesn't mind being isolated 1v1. So he brings an awful lot to that back line.
Let me ask you something, Jimmy. A lot of the talk, because DC is left-footed. So a lot of the talk is if Moise is inserted, he's inserted, and Luke de Fougerolles makes way for him. My argument is that Luke has been the better of our two center backs thus far, and I'm willing to concede the left-footed aspect, and I bring in Moise for DC. And so my two starting center backs are de Fougerolles and Bimbido.
I wouldn't do that. I would have DC and Moise. Those are the best pairing, best partnership that we have. Yes, Luke has been very good. Absolutely. There's no question about it. But even going into this tournament, we've all talked about it. Jesse loves that pairing of Moise Bimbido and DC. And when those two are together, they're very, very good. So
experience
I would
counts for a lot, too, right? As experience.
Yeah.
A lot. I mean,
and it's probably out before so much DC better. So yeah. It's so much better to have a left-footed center back on that side because he brings the left side into play. A right footer is difficult sometimes because it's a natural habit. If they get pressed, they naturally turn to the right. Where a lefty, if he gets pressed, he's going down that left-hand side. His initial reaction right away is to play left, and he gets the left side involved. That's why I used to hate when we played with midfielders that were two righties, because you know when you're playing against teams that get that press and come at you hard, their natural reaction is turn to the right to protect the ball. And they tend to go out the right side more than they do the left.
Okay. Do you not think? So
I was just saying that the right side of South Africa is really strong, right? Maseko and Madao, they were brilliant against Korea as well.
Yeah.
So that's a factor, I suppose.
Yeah. I just think you look at DC, especially versus Switzerland, like Luke was providing cover. He was stepping into challenges. The way Manzabi and Mbuelo, that was the other.
Mbuelo, yeah.
Mbuelo.
Thank you. Mbuelo, the other. The way that they were dropping into the midfield, pulling them out of position. I didn't think DC looked great. And I think the nature of this game is Canada's going to have more of the ball. So I think the left-sided argument is less of a consideration. I think, yes, it's the better partnership for all the reasons you just said, Jimmy. I totally agree. And there also could be merit to resting a kid who's only 20 years old and has played, almost every single minute of this World Cup, save for that match versus Qatar. But I think he's looked so strong. And there's also merit to rhythm, right? If you're projecting ahead, yes, you're playing the game in front of you. But, maybe you give DC a little bit of a rest because he looked a little bit suspect on those two goals, just in not kind of seeing, anticipating the play and stepping in. He looks still like he's got a little bit of rust for being out of form and not playing at Rangers.
But more minutes, less rust, I suppose. There's so many arguments here, right? Yeah. Bottom line is
100%.
Who were the center backs at Copa America, right? It was Moyes and it was DC, and they were fantastic. Mm-hmm. But I mean, listen, the thing. Even Dubs, a case with Luke.
Yeah. Dubs, you can relate to this. You play in midfield and you play with certain players where they bring the better out of you and you feel more comfortable playing with a partner than you do some others. And sometimes sure. You're just not in the same wavelength. You're not in the same rhythm of the game. Your movement is different from theirs because you really don't kind of have that understanding. And I think it's the same with DC and Luke at times. Sometimes, their habits, they understand a little bit, but not as good as what DC and Moyes do when they're together. I think their understanding is more comfortable compared to what Luke and DC is at the moment.
The fact that we even had this conversation about a 20-year-old kid.
I know.
Does he not deserve the start in a World Cup last 32? I mean,
he's going to be a stud.
He's been the story, hasn't he? As far as the positivity of this team, he's been the story, I think, of this World Cup for Canada. Like, he's been just brilliant. Yeah, he's going to be a star.
I would have loved to be up the Paul Cup.
Don't get me wrong. Like, I'm not saying he's a bad player. I'm not saying
that. No, we know.
I don't know. That partnership's very good. Like, Luke, for me, is going to be worth an absolute fortune in probably four or 5 years. He's going to be worth millions, this kid. Millions. He's got a bright future.
Yep.
Oh, I was just going to say, I would have loved to be able to bulk up the way he did over the last 6 months. From our interview with him in the spring to now, or like he's when built. That like 8 months, that guy has been eating his carbs and doing his push-ups. So well done, Luke. Like,
he was the only guy training yesterday who had the sleeveless top on, and if I had his arms, I'd also have the sleeveless top on.
He's worked on it, and that shows professionalism, which is at that age, to know what you can attain is so I would say it's not a lot of people at 19, 20 years old or whatever he is to know what his bounty could be at the end of this.
His bounty.
Bounty. Yeah, because it is a bounty, right? You're it's the treasure. It's the treasure at the end of the rainbow, right? And you don't see it until you get there. And you don't know what you have to do until you get there.
It's not the trouble.
Oh, your dog, the bounty hunter.
It's magically delicious.
So we're thinking a win today, though, obviously, right? So quickly, what are you thinking? What's the score going to be, Dubs?
2-1 Canada.
2-1, a tight one, huh? Okay, Jimmy?
90 minutes, by the way. No extra time.
God, I hope so.
Yeah. 3-1, 90 minutes.
Wonger?
2-0 Canada.
JC?
4-2 extra time.
Oh, one of those.
Yeah.
But Canada.
Yeah.
I'm going to say 2. I think a 2-0 sounds good to me.
I thought you were going to be contrarian. Just
nah. Who cares about predictions? They're pointless. It's a stupid segment.
I know.
It's my fault.
Yeah. What I don't want, Sharms, is that our World Cup Watch Canada after Monday, brought to you by Tim Hortons, is going to be based on the Thursday match, because this is a big deal. Portugal, Croatia in Toronto. It is going to be fire. I don't use that term, but Ronaldo is going to be playing here.
I mean, listen, I want to be in Houston for that. I do. But if I'm not, being in Toronto for that's pretty cool.
I will be there.
Yes.
You'll be there for that one for sure.
Why will you be there? What did you tell us on Friday? And then how did it occur?
We got tickets for the match.
Yeah.
Is there not a more interesting story than that?
I thought there was more interesting.
We just got
tickets. You were fighting for tickets. You were like trying to attain tickets, right?
No.
Oh, you just bought them?
Just fell into his lap. Because he's Jiminy Brennan.
Because we wanted to get tickets for the round of 32 in Toronto. And we just bought them. We didn't know who was playing. But as yesterday when we were watching the match, I was like, England could be here.
Right.
I was like, could you imagine England, Portugal? I was like, oh my God, this would have been amazing.
Yeah. Well, at halftime, that's what it was, right, Jimmy?
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Still, well, for all those who don't have tickets, everybody who doesn't have tickets, come and join Wonger and I down at Earl's on King, where we.
Yeah.
You guys are
fun to watch. Actually. You just nail it, and you can tell it's been rehearsed.
You sound so surprised.
And you guys practice.
No, we don't practice at all.
No, it's rehearsed because your timing is impeccable.
No. JC and I.
Inherent to that's inherent. That's relationship.
It is.
Yeah,
you're our Moist Bambino and Derek Cornelius is what you two are.
That's right.
Yeah.
I'm more like Wonger's the puppeteer, and I'm the ventriloquist.
Wait, where's your hand?
Well, this is it. I can always feel Wonger up inside me when I'm doing it.
Mention the sponsor.
Oh my God.
Sponsored by Lube and Durex.
Very quickly, listen, we'll get through these as the week goes on, but Brazil, Japan is on Monday. Germany, Paraguay, Netherlands, Morocco, which is it's a top matchup now. Morocco for me is that. Ivory Coast, Norway, France against Sweden. Good luck, Sweden. Mexico, Ecuador. That's an interesting one too. Ecuador's finally arrived. Mm-hmm. England, Congo, Belgium, Senegal, another good one. USA, Bosnia, Herzegovina. Spain, Austria, Portugal, Croatia is mentioned there. Switzerland, Algeria at Vancouver. And Egypt, Australia, Argentina, Cape Verde. My God, what a story. And Colombia, Ghana, which we've got about a couple of minutes left here.
Yeah, two more.
What's jumping out to you guys? Who do you want? I mean, listen, there's some interesting matchups. I feel a little bit sorry for Vancouver again. I mean, listen, it's a World Cup. Round of 32 is fantastic. But the way the bracket works, they don't get the sexiest of matchups. It's that simple.
Yeah.
They'll do it right. They'll celebrate and it'll be a great vibe. It's a bit disappointing, though.
Well, as Dub said, the sexiest matchup at halftime would have been England-Portugal. But I, you know, like thinking of what's sexy, obviously that Dutch game is going to be, that could be a quarterfinals in a lot of World Cups. It could be a semifinals.
And that's our next opponent, whoever wins that.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
I think the game tonight.
Yeah.
What's that?
Exactly.
Assuming Canada wins tonight.
Yeah.
Correct.
I think my game that I really want to watch, I'm looking forward to, is Japan Brazil.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
That's going to be an unbelievable game.
Mm-hmm. Could see a shocker there, don't you think?
Yeah.
Yeah, could. If I think Japan is able, and we know they're disciplined, we know they're highly technical. If they can control Vinny and not give him open space to run into and do it much the way I said South Africa, if they can control Canada, keep them at bay and keep it nil-nil for as long as possible, then it's anybody's match. And I think the same for Japan, because they definitely have, you know, the firepower themselves, not what Brazil can throw at them, but I think they've definitely got it. And like, have you heard Ancelotti? You know, like he's like, the goal is not to play well. The goal is to win the World Cup. Mm-hmm. So it's not like Joga Bonito out the window, but he doesn't care. They're like, what's the identity of this Brazilian side? Well, Ancelotti doesn't care as long as they're winning.
You know, Dubs, it's about growing the tournaments, right? To say that tournament teams, they're often not great in the group phase. You look at England, you look at Spain, haven't been great in the group phase at all. But I don't think anyone really cares. It's all about hitting your peak at the right time. And if that means you're winning 1-0, when Spain won in 2010, man, watch that World Cup back. A lot of 1-0s. They weren't great, but they won it, and they just dominated. That's it for today's show. Get ready. We're about to kick off very shortly. It's going to be someday, and God, I hope we're back here tomorrow. celebrating around a 16 tilt. I really hope, because it would suck. It would suck if we're breaking down what went wrong and what's next. Yeah. Anyway, we're out of time, everyone. Hope you enjoyed this. BetMGM. Make it legendary. Till next time, bye.
Legendary. Footy Prime is brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary. Check us out on YouTube at youtube.com/footyprime and subscribe. Leave us some comments. We'd love to hear those. And check us out on Instagram at @footyprimeig and on Twitter at @footy_prime. And check out wearefootyprime.com. Sign up for our newsletter.
Legendary. We're still hitting our peak.
We are.
Yeah. We're still going this way, right?
Yeah.
Mm. Wait, do we have one more? I know that we're done for the
Do you have
series.
Something else? Yeah.
I just wanted to shout out our friend Carrie Ryan of Footy Prime Supporters Club. She said, "Hi, Charlie." Because Charlie made a little cameo last episode. And she said, "The stamina of this crew through the World Cup is outstanding. Thanks for showing up every day, even though you know you're going to be addressing the same questions over and over again. I hope the CSA is paying you as much as they're paying your supporters club." So thanks, Carrie. We love you, and we love our supporters club and all the footy primers out there.
And actually, we funnel our money directly from CSA, goes straight into our supporters' pockets. We don't take a cent of it.
That's so right.
All those
so
millions.
Everyone knows. You know that no one's going to hear this, right?
Well, on the podcast.
On the pod. Oh, we're leaving.
Oh, yeah, audio. That's right. Oh, that's
good.
Jimmy's leaving. Jimmy's got to go. See you, Jimmy.
All right. Bye, Jimmy.
Have a great day.